Right, so my message this morning is really to bring you up to date with something very important that has just recently happened. How many of you have tracked the trip that I just recently did? Okay, all right. So the title is Beyond Acts. Hello? Beyond Acts, why? Do you know the book of Acts in your Bible, in the New Testament, is the only book that doesn't end with an amen? Do you know why? Because it's still being written today. Because it's called the Acts of the Saints. Amen? Do we have any saints in the house? Yes? All right, so it's a story about you. It's the story of God working through you now, here, in this place, and every place. That's what the book of Acts was. Now, fortunately, they had a very diligent guy by the name of Luke, who is known as the beloved physician. But I promise you, he wasn't doing medicine. So I promise you that. He had seen too much. If you were Luke, you wouldn't be doing medicine. You'd know that there's something better. Not that medicine can't help people, but you hear what I'm saying. When you got something better, you leave what's not working as well for something that's working better. Amen. So, Beyond Acts, the church's enduring call to the Great Commission. How many of you know that Jesus left us with a mission? Amen? And the mission He left us with hasn't changed. I did not expect such silence on that statement. I almost felt like I was back in a Presbyterian church there for a second. So Jesus, He left us with a message. So we're going to have a look in the book of Acts what this message was, so that we can begin to identify and understand what our commission is. Because when you commission someone, then you position them so that they can achieve a goal. If you say to someone, please go and pick up my post at the post office, and you give them your car keys, then you are what? Now commissioning them to go and fetch it. Am I right? And then if you don't give them the postbox keys, they're going to come back and say, you forgot the postbox keys. Isn't it right? And now, have they fulfilled their commission until they come back with the post? No. That means that you cannot fulfill the commission unless you do the commission. I want to share with you some very deep theology. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I just want you to understand that if you're not doing it, you're not doing it. And if you're not doing it, you should do it. And stop stressing about the fact that you haven't done it so much that it stops you from doing it. Get on with it and do it. Because God isn't heaping condemnation on you. God has forgiven you. And you can move forward. Does it make sense? Okay, you guys know that there's two types of sins, right? There's sins of remission and sins of omission. You guys know that? Okay, for example, if I tell my child to go and fetch something for me, and they say, okay, daddy, I'll go fetch it, and they don't come back with it, they have been disobedient. Would you all agree? Right. That was a sin of remission. In other words, they didn't do what I asked them to. Yeah? Oh, sorry, omission. You're right. Thanks, Lee. Okay. That's a sin of omission, where you're told to do something and you don't do it. Then there's where you tell your child, don't go and play here. It's dangerous. There's a cliff and you can get hurt. Stay away from it. And they go and play there anyway. That's a sin of remission. That's where they did what they were told not to do. So in the Bible, it's important that we understand that there are things we are told to do and there are things we are told not to do, not so that God can control us, but so that we can have a better life. I don't know about you, but the way of the wicked is hard. Because they're the ones who run when no one chases them. All you people on treadmills, I don't know where you're running to. So, we're going to read in the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, or if you can read up there, that would be great. Right? Acts 1, verse 1 to 8. This is Luke writing to Theophilus, and he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So what happens here? It's very important, guys. He comes back. He presented himself alive to them after the suffering by many proofs. So Jesus had died. He was buried. He was resurrected. And now he had come back to speak to the disciples and show them that he was indeed alive. Guys, you do know this is amazing, right? Okay? So what should he say? He says he showed them with many proofs. In other words, like Thomas. He said, Thomas, come, put your hand here in my side. Put your hand in my hand. Feel. And then he said, touch me and know that I'm not lying. This is me. I'm not a ghost. Okay? And then he says to Thomas, he says, blessed are those who believe and do not see. Say, can you say, I'm blessed? Because I believe and I do not see. Amen? All right. So what should he say? He's appearing to them during 40 days. So Jesus spent 40 days with them. And what did he do during that time? He was speaking about the kingdom of God. Guys, please, you got to catch this. The only message Jesus preached was the kingdom of God. There was no other message. For 3 years, Jesus compared the kingdom to everything. The kingdom of God. Seek ye first his righteousness, right? His kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. These things, he says, and the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds. But when you plant it, it grows into a tree and it makes space for everything. Isn't that right? It says the kingdom of God can be compared to a man who finds a treasure in a field. And he goes immediately and he sells all that he has so that he may buy the field so that he may have the treasure. The kingdom of God was all that Jesus taught. And it was in the kingdom of God that these things happened. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not in food and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So where is the kingdom of God? In righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That means when you receive the Holy Spirit, you become part of the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. So then it says here, I'm just trying to make sure I catch up with my notes. Okay. Then number 4. And while still staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, so this was an instruction. I want to give you some context here. We've got the disciples. They've just spent 40 days with Jesus. Jesus has explained everything to them about the new covenant in those 40 days. Now, after the resurrection, right? He's explaining everything to them about this new covenant and the kingdom that they're coming into and their responsibility to take this message forward. And then he says to them that, when basically, John baptized you with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay? But he says, before you go out there and tell people about this message, you need to be empowered. Right? So he says, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Now, I've got great news for us this morning. The news is that we don't have to wait. You see, the early Pentecostals, by the way, interesting fact about Pentecostals, you know the day of Pentecost was the day that the law was given. How many of you know that? I find it fascinating that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day the law was given as to redeem us from the ordinances and the letter of the law and to enter into the spirit of the law. Isn't it amazing? When the day the written law was given, 3,000 people died. On the day the Spirit was given, 3,000 people were saved. It was like a complete reversal. because the letter of the law brings death, but the Spirit brings life and peace. Amen. All right. So we've got this very clear thing. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? Not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's interesting. Immediately when Jesus is talking about his kingdom, suddenly they start talking about the thing that everyone's waiting for the Jews to rule the world. And this was not God's plan. God's plan wasn't for the Jews to rule the world. His plan was for humanity to claim back its inheritance through Jesus so that we could all rule the world together. Because that's what we were created for. We were created to rule. Because it says so in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. Let us make man in our image and likeness so that they may have dominion on the earth. The two are connected. Amen? Then he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now guys, this is a very important answer Jesus is giving here. They want to know if the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. And Jesus is saying, stop worrying about when a prophecy is going to be fulfilled and start getting on with what I've called you to. Stop being so concerned about how it's going to end so that you can drink your last drinking binge the day before Jesus shows up. Because that's the reason why most people are living in this idea of I've got to know what happens in the end, because they want to make sure they're just ready before Jesus comes so they can live their lives so close to hell and be on their way to heaven. And if it isn't that, then it's just this huge escapism theology where they think that Jesus is coming to rescue them because they're the only holy people. Everyone's just a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners. They have forgotten that they too were sinners and needed salvation. And I'm not talking to anyone here, obviously. I'm talking to everyone watching online. You should be here. Amen. And if you don't get that as a joke, then you need to know it's jokes, I'm telling you. Okay. Right, so here's the deal. What I want you guys to understand from this is that when we get preoccupied about times and seasons, we forget that we're in the season of reaping. Jesus said, do not pray, right? Do not pray that you will go out in the right season. Know that the season is now. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will cast out workers into the field. Well, why? The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Yo, how's that for a revelation? You might be in a personal season in your life where God is preparing you, but in your preparation, you are still one step ahead of someone who does not even know Jesus yet. And sometimes I think that people misunderstand this. No one is asking you to be a theologian before you share the gospel, because if the gospel has touched you, it will touch others. If it's changed your life, it will change other people's lives. And if it hasn't yet changed your life, maybe you haven't yet given yourself to the truth of the gospel so that it can change your life. All right. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Can you say, I'm a witness for Jesus? We are a church family of people who believe in the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. Am I correct? There is no name under heaven by which men can be saved but the name of Jesus. Is that true? It also means that Jesus made this claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Which means if you do not go through Jesus and you claim to know the Father, you know a Father that we do not know. There is no other mediator. Your ancestors cannot mediate for you. Your dead Mary cannot mediate for you. Only Jesus can mediate for you. He is the high priest, the advocate for us forever. The Bible says he is not unsympathetic with our suffering, for he himself has also been tempted in every way which is common unto man and woman. So we have a high priest, we have a mediator, and he isn't some other demonic entity, and he isn't some dead person in the ground. His name is Jesus. He died and he rose again and he lives forevermore. We have a risen king who's alive. Amen. And we have to be clear about this because, guys, the time is coming and it is almost here where you will not have time for all your personal luxuries without making a very bad decision of allowing your personal life to triumph over God's calling on your life. Because a time is coming where either you're going to go with Jesus or you're going to go with the world. And whoever loves the world and the things of the world is not a friend of God. The truth is that the world promises everything and delivers empty eggshells. They've got very fancy, colorful eggshells. When you open them, there's nothing in there, nothing fruitful. But Jesus is everything. Amen? And so I'm going to share something cool with you. Oops. About... 15 days ago, I embarked on a trip, a mission with a well-known friend of mine, Africa Mahlope. How many of you guys were here for Africa? So we met in Joburg and we had a long 5-hour drive to this place called Petrusburg. And if you don't know where it is, don't worry, hardly anyone else does. But we know it exists because we were there. And I know you might say, you don't think so, but I was there and you weren't, so I guess you're wrong. Okay, and what happened is we were going there because the people in that area wanted to do a crusade to reach people because of the amount of witchcraft, divination, some gormery and things like that that were going on in the area. So Africa spoke to me and said he would really appreciate it if I could join him. Because we could then bring both kind of the what you would call an apologetic argument as well as a powerful backup to represent what the kingdom is saying. How many of you know that's a pretty good move? It's a pretty good move. Amen? So we had the pleasure of staying in this place. You can't really see it, but it was nice. It was had 4-hour load sheddings. The water doesn't work when it load sheds. The things we suffer for Jesus. Okay, so the first day we were there, we went to the civic center. Now, I don't have pictures of the civic center because I was too busy kind of dealing with people. Have you ever been like that? You know, like you don't want to like be constantly with your phone like this because then everyone thinks you're only there to take pictures. But you also want to record something so that at least you can show other people what happened. So it's a bit of a catch, 2200. Right. So we had an amazing time in Petrusburg. And why am I sharing this with you? Because once you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness, then he gives you the power to back up your witness. Hello? How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Right. Why are you so timid about it? Yo, I have the Holy Ghost. Amen? Why? Without him, I couldn't even be moral. Do you think morality is natural? Yo. It's unnatural for the flesh. It's natural for the supernatural. Because if we walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? It means to be mindful of the things of the Spirit. I am as he is in this world. I agree with what he says about me in this world. And when you believe that stuff, you'll live that stuff. But when you believe a lie, you'll live a lie. Facts. Amen. So we went there, and so there were two times that we went. We went in the morning, and then we went in the afternoon. In the morning when we went, we got there, and the weather was quite bad. I don't know if you guys remember, but obviously you weren't there, so I knew what the weather was like there. It was very stormy and windy, so it seemed like some people stayed away because they were, uncomfortable. But even though they were uncomfortable, some Gormas were doing some rituals on the other side, and we were getting reports back of all this evil that's happening around us, to which our reply was, oh, okay, and we carried on. Do you know why? Because they have no spiritual power when you are the spiritual authority. Do you understand? Why would Jesus say to you, bless those who curse you, if their curses have power over you? I don't care who your some Gorma friend is. He can curse until he's blue. The devil can't touch this. I'm hidden in Jesus. When he finds me, he finds Jesus, and he gets a whooping. A whooping. Do you understand? The last time the devil encountered Jesus, he was defamed, he was disarmed, he was defeated, he was humiliated, and he was made an open public spectacle. Do you think he wants that again? No. So when he comes knocking at your door and he finds Jesus, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, that's right. He's going to run. I never knew sharing my testimony would create so much controversy. So there we saw about 10 people initially, and then it grew to about 15, 20 people as we made the circle bigger. You guys all know that song. Yeah. So we had a small circle, and then we were making it bigger, making it bigger, making it bigger. And then after Africa had shared on this topic that they wanted us to share on, he called people up for prayer, and every single person who came up for prayer was instantly healed. This was so cool. We went after that to one of the people who were hosting us. You'll see them. I think in the previous picture, you'll see that Stefani and her husband. They were hosting us. And they have 16 lions. I think these people are very special. Jesus loves them a lot. But I wouldn't want 16 lions. I think one is enough if you're going to have them. But that's just me. Amen. And they had white lions and brown lions. So we had the privilege of going and seeing these lions. And it kind of reminded me of the fact that Jesus came as a lamb, but you know he's going to return as a lion. Right? Right. So the lion and the lamb is what we carry. We carry the priesthood and the kingship of Jesus because we are co-equal heirs with him. Amen? Right. Then we went on the Sunday, we went to the Archaeus Church. Now, I'm not sharing everything, okay? I don't have enough time. I'm already running out of time. So, I'm not sharing everything, okay? We went to this church here at the Archaeus. Africa preached on the subject of some Gormas and divination. And then he said, if anyone here is sick, come up and receive prayer. 15 people lined up. No, 16 people lined up, I think, and 15 people I heard from there was an immediate change in their body. You know, you always get that person who has to go and do a test. So I know they healed, but they can't exactly say they are. Does that make sense? So I don't testify on those because I'm not going to say that and then they come back and say, yeah, but I haven't yet done the test, and then they try and make out that I'm lying. Do you understand? Okay, so that's a free tip for the healing school, guys. Okay, and then we went to a farm early in the morning. There were a bunch of farm workers there, probably about 35 or so farm workers. Shared the gospel there, reminded people of the foolishness of these so-called traditions that completely befuddle. I mean, you know the kind of thing that they do is, a guy will have a nightmare about an ancestor saying, I'm thirsty, and then they have to buy European whiskey and pour a glass of it out on the ground. Like, what a waste of whiskey. And then the people that are now, you know, the people that have now poured this whiskey, now they're all going to drink the rest of the whiskey. I think someone went to sleep and said, I really want whiskey, made up a story about whiskey, about their ancestor wanting something to drink, and then boom, free whiskey. What do you reckon? Or when someone's hungry, oh, I haven't eaten in 3 days. Oh, I had a dream. My ancestor said they're hungry. We've got to eat now. There's so much room for manipulation in this thing, and it is not a cultural thing from the perspective of this is how Africans have always been. This is something that has crept into Africa through pagan worship over time. It started way back in Canaan. So it's something that people shouldn't even be taking on board as something that's part of their culture, because God has actually called us to a heavenly culture. So wherever your culture does not line up with God's culture, change. Everywhere else, you're fine. Amen? It's as simple as that. If my culture as a white person teaches me to hate black people, I'm wrong. I need to love them because they're people, just like I'm people, because Jesus is a people and he loves all people. Amen? So the reality is, just because my culture teaches me something doesn't mean it justifies me to act this way. And just because my legacy might try and push that upon me doesn't mean I have to now succumb to that and contradict God's word. This is not how we operate. We operate by changing our minds to agree with God's word so we can do God's will. Amen? All right. And then, oh yeah, where was I? No, where am I going? Can we go back? Steve? No, this is forward. There we go, back. All right, there, farm ministry. And then we went through to Petersburg school, okay? This was the morning there was an explosion of God's love and mercy at the clinic. Sorry, no, this is not the school, this is the clinic. So how many of you have ever gone to a clinic to pray for people? Right, so we get there and we get to the clinic. And we don't quite know where to go. Finally, we find the one lady who's in charge. She takes us into the room. She says, okay, you've got 10 minutes before the clinic opens, and then you're going to be in our way, so you've got to get out of our way. Okay? So Africa shares very quickly, and what ends up happening is we say, okay, now we're going to pray for everyone. So we just shared on the authority and the dominion of Jesus and how he's the only way to the Father and that he wants people to be set free. And then we said, okay, we'll pray for people, but we don't have a lot of time. So we're going to do it on the side. Well, that on the side turned out to an hour and a half of praying for not only the staff members, but for almost every single person in the clinic, and seeing like literally almost every person, I would say at least 9 out of 10 people instantly healed. And then we went through to a school. If you look here, you'll see how big this school is. There's quite a bit of kids there, just a tad. Okay? And Africa shared on this idea that I'd rather be a small man with a big God than a big man with no God. And he was talking about Goliath and David. And I kept thinking about you, but you're way too tall, man. So I kept thinking about this. The reality of the fact that when you have a big God supporting you, you don't need to be big yourself. Amen? And we shared it. Then I tried to get the kids to pray for one another, but they weren't very used to that. So they thought it was a bit of a joke. So we said, okay, if you still need prayer, come up. Well, Holy Ghost mayhem broke out. We had at least, there were so many. There were about 70 salvations. About 50 kids got instantly healed. And I know of 10 kids that got delivered. While I was praying for them, that devil would manifest and come out. And Jesus and his name was glorified. Would you say this is still the acts of the saints? Yeah? Okay, good. Then we left there and we traveled to Funderbijl Park. How many of you guys know where Funderbijl is? right? So we traveled there. We went to the university there. I met a very nice guy by the name of Jichens and his wife, Markea. And they were setting up like a theological class. So you've got your theological students coming to this class, and Africa shared there. There were some very interesting questions. I'm not going to get into too much of the detail there. But what ended up happening is we ended up praying for people. There was the one girl, whenever she entered a dark room, she saw monsters attacking her. So she tried to keep lights on wherever she went, right? Because she was scared of the dark. Have you ever been scared of the dark? When you were young? No? You're lying. It's okay. Jesus loves you. Okay, so when she had this fear, it was real for her, right? It was real for her. So I prayed for her. I broke the spirit of fear over her. And just prayed what the Holy Spirit told me to. That morning, I got a photo. She put the light off when she got home. Nothing. Amazing, right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we shared there. We tried to equip people there. It was great. That was kind of our stop on the way. We went through to Overcomers. And there we shared, first Africa shared, actually, over here, praying for the leaders, Parais leaders meeting. And those are all the different leaders in the different churches in the area who came and had what we call consultative coffee. No, just normal coffee. So they came and had normal coffee, and we spoke about the new book, and we spoke about things. And one of the things that really came out of it was that long-term change comes through discipleship. You can pump a church to grow without discipleship, and you can get a very wide church. But soon enough, it'll start collapsing from the inside because it doesn't have enough depth. Now, many of you have been here for a very long time. You've got depth in you, and it's time that we start widening your sphere of influence. Amen? That the work that God has called you to starts expanding, as we're all expanding, so we can increase the footprint of the kingdom of God. You don't seem that excited about it. I will pray for you, Lord, that they may know the depths and the lengths and the heights. Hallelujah. Okay, and so then this is the "You Have a Big God" slide. We were getting ready to go to the school in Tamahole, and that was the kind of the size of the thing there. I don't have a picture of that. Sorry, I do have a picture of this that's bigger, but let's just say that if from here to over there to all the way back, there was just kids. Okay, and what happened is we led them to salvation. They put up their hands, and then we went into the principal's office. She doesn't use the office because apparently there's demons there. So we told her there's no demons here. The Holy Spirit is with us, and there's no demons here. So we prayed for them, and we dealt with the situation. And then after that, we went and we prayed for, well, the team went and prayed for all the classrooms, every classroom, all the kids in every classroom. And I was supposed to help, but the principal's office became the place where they sent all the teachers and staff for prayer. So as I was exiting to go and help them, another person would come, and then another, I would leave, and then another, you get the picture. And then by the time I was done, they were done. And I was like, okay, well, perfect timing. And this was perfect because people got saved, they got set free. Every single person I prayed for saw an immediate or a significant difference. I mean, mostly immediate difference. So that was awesome. And then I wanted to kind of tell you guys about this meeting we had in Tamahole. Where is it? This one here. I know it seems like it's just a shack, because it is, in the middle of Tamahole, but these pastors have been working in this area for a long time, and they've been facing massive opposition. And they haven't understood why until that day. God spoke to Africa about the thing that is actually causing people to become empathetic towards, not empathetic, what's the word? Apathy. What, how do you say that? Apathetic. Kind of sounds really bad. Okay. Anyway, what basically means that they're not participating because what's happening is instead of trusting Jesus for everything that they should get, they're going to witch doctors and some gormas, and so their commitment to the gospel is weak. And so what ends up happening is actually drives witchcraft into the church, and it makes bad things happen in the church and in the lives of people, and you're constantly praying against these things, but they're actually going and bringing these things into their lives all the time by participating. That's why if you used to be Hindu or Tamil or anything where you had more than one God, you can't just add Jesus to your life. Jesus is not just an addition. It's Jesus or nothing. You're with Him or you're without Him. You don't add Him. Are you with me? It's 100% Jesus or 0% Jesus. You don't get Jesus at a different percentage. You're all in or you're all out. Jesus, in fact, He said, rather you're hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, I will literally spew you out of my mouth. So we want to make sure that we understand what this means. And throughout my journey, this is just some of the highlights, guys. Throughout my journey, I want you to know that God is stirring the hearts of believers all over our country, and that He is stirring the hearts of believers to rise up and to stand up and to speak up for the things of God. You're not alone. You might feel sometimes that your task is so insurmountable, but I promise you, the only reason we can even step out and do this is because we know God is with us. Amen? And so just like in the early church, that's definitely not going to help me. Just like in the early church, the Great Commission is a call to action by Jesus before His ascension, inviting us to embrace our unique role in God's unfolding plan of redemption for humanity. What are the challenges we face in this time, apart from divination and these things, is we face a world that's consumed by distractions, driven by instant gratification, and defined by self-centeredness. A world yearning for genuine human connection, a world in desperate need of hope, love, and restoration, a world with diverse and ever-changing realities, a world empowered by technology, connected by social networks, and inspired by the boundless possibilities of these technologies, but still living lives that are truly disconnected from one another. Some of the tools we have to proclaim the gospel are the Holy Spirit, wisdom, power, and courage. And we can use, all of us can use our cell phones to communicate with our friends and our people through social networks to enable us to reach more people. But our physical presence, our compassionate actions, and our loving words, our creativity, and our voice is our greatest resource in reaching the people around us. Don't underestimate what God has put on the inside of you and what He will do if you make yourself available for what He wants to do. You can't tell me in this room that you can't think of one person that you think Jesus needs to save. And if you can't, you need some new worldly friends. Amen. Some of the outcomes we hope to achieve by embracing the Great Commission are to be ambassadors of Christ's love, mercy, and grace in every aspect of our lives. To unite diverse communities, advocate for those who are weak and what we would call marginalized, and reflect the inclusive love of Jesus Christ in every endeavor. To be agents of transformation in our sphere of influence, to bring healing, justice, and reconciliation to a hurting world, and to transform lives, reshape communities, and bring forth a world saturated with God's love. That is what God has called us to. That's what I believe we are here for. To be His witnesses on the earth. So this morning, you might be thinking, yeah, Mark, but that's because you went on a trip. Guys, you can take a trip. Just walk around your block. You don't even know your neighbors. It's like a foreign country. Just knock on their door. Hello? Most of you hide from your neighbors. Don't look at me like I don't know. I hid from my neighbors for a long time. I know. We all hide from our neighbors. Why? Because you don't want the politics, right? But unless you put yourself out there, you're not going to reach them. And if you don't reach them, who will? And if you don't do it, when? When will someone do it? This morning, I want to call you to action. I want to ask you that if you say today, Jesus, I want to be used by you more frequently in my sphere of influence. Help me. I want you to stand up. So now, as you're standing here, I want you to realize that we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But this prayer is something that you have to commit to from your heart. Yeah? Something that you say from your heart. If you say this and you don't mean it, it's not going to work for you. Because why? With the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. Amen? All right. So Heavenly Father, I come before you today. And I thank you that you have saved me, that you have filled me with your Spirit, and that you have called me to your side. I am your son. You have appointed me. You have anointed me. I have the Spirit of knowledge. I have the Spirit of wisdom. I have the Spirit of might. You are with me. So every day, when opportunity comes, I submit to you, Holy Spirit. I resist the fear of man. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that because of your great love for me, I will share your great love with others. Let them hear me. Holy Spirit, will you speak to them and prepare them so that when I speak to them, they will hear your word and that their lives might be transformed. Thank you, Jesus, that you have prepared me for this. Amen. 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 Amen.